So you may ask, why are we reading about the crucifixion of Jesus in our gospel today, a week before Thanksgiving, a little over 4 weeks till Christmas? What does this crucifixion story have to do with where we find ourselves? Isn't this more of a gospel reading we'd hear on Good Friday or somewhere around Easter time? Why are we reading it in November? I'd like to talk a little bit about that and why the church gives us this reading today. As you know, we live our lives in a calendar of January through December. That's how a year is measured, January through December. The church, though, marks the calendar, marks time differently. In the church year, the year begins with the first Sunday of Advent, which is actually next Sunday, and goes through an entire cycle of the year and ends today. Today is actually the last Sunday of the church year, the church calendar. And so with Advent, we begin to walk through the awaiting of Christ, the birth of Jesus at Christmas, the showing forth of Jesus at Epiphany. We walk through Lent and Easter and the resurrection of Jesus. We walk through the Sundays after Pentecost, following the ministry of the church after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And it brings us around to today. The church kind of walks us through that. And each Sunday gives us readings to think about and to reflect upon. Well, this particular Sunday, which is called either the last Sunday after Pentecost, which happened back in June, but it's also referred to as the Feast of Christ the King. Today is actually a feast day within the church year on the last Sunday after Pentecost, the Feast of Christ the King. Kings are not something that we're that familiar with in our lives, in our world. There still are kings in certain parts of the world, but not kings in the way that kings were kings in the days of Jesus in ancient times. We're a people that don't seem to be that interested in kings, except when princes get married. And all our attention turns to these princely weddings. But there's something about that that's mythical and romantic and magical, all these dreamy kind of things. But in the days of Jesus, I mean, kings were kings, and even after Jesus, throughout history, kings existed. And when there is a king, there is also a kingdom. And that's the connection, I think, of this feast day today. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, he was always talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. It's important for us to remember that Jesus did not come to start the church. Jesus did not come to start a religion. Jesus came to bring about the kingdom of God. And it's important for us to remember that. That the reason we gather as a community of faith, the reason we gather as a church, is because we are about something that is larger than us. We are about something that is bigger than us. And sometimes we can forget that. The great spiritual writer Richard Rohr talks about how often the church can sometimes get so locked into becoming a belonging system that we focus so much on belonging that we forget why we belong. We forget why we're part of a community of faith, which is to be a transformative presence in the world. Our religious tradition is about belonging and transforming. And to me, that's what the kingdom of God is about, going forth to bring about the kingdom. And so on this Feast of Christ the King, how is the kingship of Jesus portrayed? It's not Jesus on some, you know, elegant throne. It's not Jesus dressed in elegant garments, although there is artwork throughout the history of Christianity portraying Jesus like that. But the reading that the church presents to us today on this Feast of Christ the King is the crucifixion. In many ways, that's the throne. That's the kingship of Jesus. Jesus facing that ultimate darkness, that ultimate fear, conquering death. And it's from that throne that Jesus reigns. And so we place before us as Christians this cross. We have a cross before us as whenever we worship. The cross, of course, is what this is here, a cross without the body of Jesus. You also hear the word crucifix, which oftentimes is used. A crucifix is a cross that has the body of Jesus artistically kind of portrayed on the cross. We actually have a crucifix over in our prayer corner over there where we have healing prayers. But the cross, the crucifix, has always stood before us as a reminder to us of the kingship of Jesus. That may sound almost contradictory in our lives, but it's this call we have to live into this kingship. And we are called to ascend that throne. We are called to share in this kingship. We are called to bring about the kingdom that Jesus brought about. And so we look at our world. Where is the cross in our world and in our lives? We can find the cross in our own individual lives. The cross also exists in the world around us. How do we go about being a transforming presence? Interesting today, the Episcopal Church, through Episcopal Relief and Development, has designated today to be a Sunday to remember and pray for the Millennium Development Goals. The Millennium Development Goals. I'll talk about that a little bit. Back in the year 2000, the Episcopal Church gathered at its convention, and ever since that time, the Church gathers every 3 years in convention, has reiterated its commitment to the Millennium Development Goals. The Millennium Development Goals were created by many nations of the world. The United Nations has adopted the Millennium Development Goals, and the Episcopal Church has adopted these goals as well to be something that draws us out of ourselves, reminds us of what we can do in the world. Because sometimes the cross, sometimes the darkness, sometimes the suffering can seem so overwhelming that we just decide to just take care of our own little neighborhood and forget the pain and suffering of those beyond us. And yet the Millennium Development Goals are one way of reminding us of that. Let me just read to you what those Millennium Development Goals are. There's 8 of them, very brief statements. These are, in a sense, very broad, but also remind us of how specific our call is to bring about this transformative kingdom that Jesus calls us to. I have this card. I've placed a bunch of these cards at the baptismal font, an appropriate place where you could pick them up. To remind us that it's baptism that calls us to this life, to this transformative power. So I invite you to take one with you when you leave today. Here are the Millennium Development Goals, or what are oftentimes referred to as the MDGs. The MDGs. Number 1, eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. Number 2, achieve universal primary education. Number 3, promote gender equality and empower women. Number 4, reduce child mortality. Number 5, improve maternal health. Number 6, combat HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. Number 7, ensure environmental stability. And number 8, develop a global partnership for development. So let's just go do that. They can sound almost overwhelming and so broad, and yet, how can we step into those goals? How can we move into those goals and make a difference in our world today? One of the invitations that the Episcopal Church gives is to commit to these goals financially. Invites every member of the church and every church community, every parish congregation, to look to give 0.7% of our budget towards these goals. 0.7%. Here at St. Paul's, our annual budget is about $1 million, our operating budget, which is money that you give to support the ministry here at St. Paul's. So 0.7% is $7,000. And through our outreach, we do commit $7,000 and more, much more than that, to these kinds of goals. Our outreach committee actually does look at ways to give money that somehow connects to some of these goals, to make a difference in the world. And beyond the 0.7% that we give, makes a difference as well. So that's one call we're given. At our next diocesan convention in January, when the Diocese of North Carolina gathers, one of the things that's going to be highlighted at the convention is a project to fight malaria. A project to fight malaria. Malaria is killing millions of people throughout the world, particularly in the sub-Sahara continent of Africa. Millions. Malaria is just spreading rampantly. And one of the things that we're going to talk about at the Diocesan Convention is Nets for Life. You may have heard about Nets for Life. It's a simple way of getting nets that are distributed to people that they can put in their homes, particularly in their beds at night, to cover their almost like a net over their bed to protect them from mosquitoes that carry malaria. And these nets keep the mosquitoes away and also kill the mosquitoes to protect them from this horrendous disease. And so at the Diocesan Convention, we're going to be invited to take this on as just one project, just to address one part of just one of these goals. One of the goals of our diocese is going to be one net for every Episcopalian in our diocese. In our diocese, we have about 40, 41,000 Episcopalians. And we're a big part of that 40,000. And the goal is for each part of the Episcopal, every member of the Episcopal Church, somehow to have a net for every person. So that our diocese could give 40,000 nets to make a difference in our world. There'll be more about that after our diocesan convention, how we can go about doing that here at St. Paul's. A few weeks ago, I was talking about a book that my daughter introduced me to, The Blue Sweater, which was written by Jacqueline Novogratz. And Jacqueline Novogratz is someone who was into microfinancing and making a difference in the world, providing resources to people who otherwise would never qualify for resources. And one of the things Jacqueline Novogratz is doing about this NETS need is looking to establish, and she already has in some ways, establish places, factories, where these nets can be made in sub-Sahara Africa. So we're not just giving nets. Charity is not going to destroy poverty. Charity is needed, but it's not going to destroy poverty or wipe it out. We need to empower people, strengthen people, that they can live independently. And one of the things Jacqueline Novogratz is doing is trying to create some factories in Africa where these nets can be made and distributed. So that people making them are empowering themselves and there's a difference being made. It's that kind of an example of ways of living into these goals. So I invite you to take one of these cards with you. Reflect on these goals in your life. How can you support these goals? Our youth group is doing it through Kiva, through microfinancing, making a difference. There's ways that we do that here with our resources, and I invite you to consider ways that you can do that in your own individual lives. We do it through mission trips to New Orleans, to Appalachian Service Project. We'll be going to Honduras this year. There's many ways that we can make a difference in our world. And so as we gather together in this Feast of Christ the King, let us ascend the throne of Jesus. Let us face the darkness in our world, and let us make a difference. Let us transform the world by being a powerful presence as we go forth living into the dream that God has for us.